Please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians chapter 5. Many times in the letters that Paul writes, he begins with instruction, he then goes to application, and then at the end, what he does is he gives a list of kind of last-minute instructions to the church. And we're in this section, their final instructions and benediction. We're going to be reading verses 12 through 25, but we're going to be focusing only on verse 9. Verses 12 through 22, verse 19 is going to be our focus. Let's begin in verse 12. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace amongst yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all of them. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Verse 19 is our focus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything and hold fast to what is good, and abstain from every form of evil. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we're going to be considering together the work of the Spirit in the Christian's life, and particularly this verse 19, do not quench the Spirit. Now, as I was preparing this message, I began to think back, and I began to think, have I ever heard a message on this particular verse? I don't think I had ever preached on this myself. But all of us know here this morning, if you're a Christian this morning, if you're familiar with Scripture, you know that overall, the Bible speaks a lot about the work of the Spirit, a very, very important doctrine. And this is true in the Old Testament. This is true in the New Testament. Really, it's one of the most central teachings in the Bible. I believe that there's really not enough focus on this, even in our own churches. But brothers and sisters, we know that God has revealed himself in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And even in our circles, in Reformed circles, but certainly in evangelical circles, there's a lot of confusion about the work of the Spirit. Many believe that the Spirit is simply a type of a force or a type of power to do supernatural things, like heal the sick, cast out evil spirits, that sort of thing. They point to the New Testament account and they say that this is something that every believer should experience. This is something that every one of us, every church should know. Perhaps you've seen this kind of teaching. Men like Todd White, really popular today. Benny Hinn, who's been around for at least 25 years. But this teaching, brothers and sisters, has actually revolutionized the church today. Especially in Latin world, the African world, many of traditional churches have been taken over by this teaching. When I served for a time in Honduras, it was interesting, they called us there the Iglesia Apagada. That is to say, the snuffed out church, the church that didn't have the Spirit. Let me say to you this morning that I don't believe, according to Scripture, we are a snuffed out church, that we don't see the work of the Spirit. I think it's because we as a church have misunderstood His work in our life. Now, in His ministry, Jesus told the church that physically He would be with them for a short time, that He would die on the cross, but that He would send a helper to the church. He would send a helper with the name the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And you perhaps remember in the history of the church when the Spirit came in a special way, Acts chapter 2. That was a highlight. That was something the church had been looking forward to all the way through the Old Testament, the day the Spirit would come down. It was an amazing event, wasn't it? They could speak in many different tongues. I believe that they were physical tongues. They were tongues that were used, languages that were used at that time. Any of you that have studied other languages, you know how hard it is to learn a language well. Some say it takes 10 years to become fluent in the language. They said that to us when we were learning Spanish. Some other languages are even more difficult, but the amazing thing about Acts chapter 2 is that they were actually hearing the gospel for the first time in their own tongue. But we see there, brothers and sisters, in Acts chapter 2 and going forward, that the age of the Spirit had begun. Personally, I've always wondered what it must have been like to be there. What an amazing event. But brothers and sisters, ever since that day when God the Father poured out His Spirit on the church, we've been living in this age of the Spirit. As Christians, we believe that every one of us has the Spirit working in our hearts, has the Spirit working in our lives, leading us, guiding us, helping you to live for the Lord. We read the law earlier. It's impossible without the Spirit's work in your life to begin to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. So here in our passage, it says not to quench the Spirit. And the idea here is exactly what it sounds like. It's putting out a fire. It's putting out the fire that God has begun in you. It's like starting a fire. And the cadets understand this, how difficult it is just to begin that fire with one match. Well, it doesn't make a lot of sense if you're trying to start a fire to throw water when you've just lit that flame. And the Apostle Paul says, look it. Church of Jesus Christ, remember this. Do not quench the work of the Spirit in your life. Don't go there. Understand what a tremendous blessing it is to have Him in your life. So today we're going to take a kind of general approach to this. We're going to look at the work of the Spirit, and we're going to see four specific areas that the Spirit works in the Christian's life, and how specifically not to quench that work personally. I want to say right off the bat, we're not going to be able to cover every angle on this. I'll leave that up to Pastor Vogel. He's good at covering a lot of different angles. Every time I hear him preach, I think, what a thorough preacher. But we're going to be covering some of the very main areas, some of the main things that the Spirit does in our life. And really, we could take 10 sermons to do this. We're only going to take one this morning. When we turn to the New Testament, we see that the Holy Spirit is involved intimately in every aspect of the Christian life. And the first thing that I want you to see this morning is that the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, is to convict us of sin. Before you become a Christian, spiritual things don't make a lot of sense to us, do they? They might seem very strange. Maybe we reject them outright. Maybe we're simply indifferent to them. It's like, well, that's a world I know nothing about. And in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, it says that the natural man doesn't accept the things of the Spirit of God. Many of our friends, many of our neighbors, they live in that way. It's like, well, why do those folks go to church on Sundays? I just don't get it. When God begins to work in your life, he begins to change your heart attitudes. And he begins to make you think, perhaps thinking about life after death. Maybe somebody in your family passes away. You begin to think, well, where will I be when my time comes? Certainly in COVID, we've talked a lot about death. I think that's a good thing. Maybe it's through a life-changing event in your life. I've met people who really didn't think about anything spiritual until they had their first baby, and they looked at that baby in their arms, they looked in his or her eyes, and they said, well, what am I going to teach my kid? Maybe it's that you go through a tough time, you lose your job, you have difficulties in your marriage. Maybe you, whatever it is in your life, you begin to think for the first time, what is kind of the bigger picture? Why am I here? Why do I have these problems? Is God real? One of the first things that God does when he begins to work in our life is he makes us think about how we're living before him. He begins to convict us of our sin. John 16:7 says, the Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin. That is his work, brothers and sisters. He makes you consider your ways. He makes you think about the things you've done over the last week. He makes you understand that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. And in John 3, when Nicodemus came to Jesus and wanted to know what it meant to become a Christian, Jesus said to him, you must be born again. That's the truth, isn't it? Every one of us here has to come to the point in our life where we personally come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, where we personally confess our sins before him. And for those of you who have come from outside of our circles, outside of perhaps a Christian home, perhaps that was later in life. I knew a man who at 65 came to the Lord, lived as a thief and a robber his entire life. He just passed away a few weeks ago. But his confidence was in the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew his sins were forgiven. Brothers and sisters, that's true for us as well, isn't it? We need to come to that point where we understand that we need Jesus Christ as our own Savior. And that's what Scripture says. He saved us through the washing of rebirth, through the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So there needs to come a point in our life where we recognize our sin, that we turn from our sin, where we are converted, where we are born again. But this conviction doesn't stop there, brothers and sisters. This is ongoing. Every Christian has the Spirit working in him on a daily basis. And what the Spirit does, he makes our conscience sensitive to his leading. He helps us to recognize our sin on a daily basis and helps us then to turn from that sin. So we need to ask the question, what does it mean to quench the Spirit? The answer, the simple answer is simply this, by not rejecting him when he convicts us of sin. When we begin to stray, when we begin to walk away, that's something that all of us do at times. People perhaps on the outside don't always see it. Even pastors can begin to think wrongly and behave wrongly. But we can't begin to make excuse for our sin. We can't begin to harden in that sin. That's our tendency, isn't it? We tend to get comfortable in it. We begin to think it's normal. We begin to compare ourselves with other people, and we say, well, I'm really not so bad. I'm doing what everybody else is doing. What's the big deal? We have to be sensitive to the Spirit's conviction on a daily basis. Brothers and sisters, if there's someone here this morning that perhaps is in a bad way, that is perhaps beginning to walk away, beginning to live perhaps in secret sin, let me say to you this morning, reach out to someone around you. Maybe you feel that you've been trapped in your sin. Maybe you feel like you are stuck in a rut. One of the things you need to understand, the way Satan works, is that Satan begins to think, make us think you can never change. You are going to be in this forever. There is no way out. But brothers and sisters, let me say to you that there is always a way out. And that's through Jesus Christ. Call out to him. Ask for his help. Reach out to others around you as well. If there's someone in your life that you can reach out to. This past weekend, I was attending the Forge Conference for young men. Excellent. Had a pastor come in from the OPC. Wonderful messages. Just a reminder of what we are called to as men to stand, especially in the day that we're living. Not to get caught up in sins, not to be slaves secretly. It sucks the life out of you. It sucks the manhood out of you. So don't quench the Spirit when he convicts you of sin. That's the first thing. Secondly, when we talk about the work of the Spirit, we can speak of becoming a part of the church. This morning you just welcomed a new member. That's a wonderful thing. What a joy that is. It's exciting when someone joins the church. It's exciting when someone comes in and is new blood, new people coming in helps the church a lot. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13 says this. It says, "For we all were baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many." The New Testament church was a really interesting place. People of many walks of life were brought together into one community. Young and old, men and women, slaves and free, the poor and the rich. They were so different, but they were all brought together. That's an amazing thing. And I think here in our culture in Canada, we don't always understand what that means. I think we tend to see ourselves as really kind of on one economic level. Really, you could talk to anybody that you know. There's nobody that you wouldn't address because they make more money than you. There's nobody that is lesser than you that you would not speak to, but really in most cultures, that's not the case. We found that even in Mexico when we were there, we found that the wealthy oftentimes wouldn't even acknowledge a street sweeper. You go to a place like India, it's even much more. The class distinction is huge. There's huge separation between those who are upper class and those who are middle class, and especially the upper and the lower. But it's amazing when the Spirit begins to work, all of those barriers, male and female, rich and poor, different nationalities, different languages, all of them were brought together to be a part of the church. And brothers and sisters, that's an amazing thing. That's a miracle in itself. But the work of the Spirit is to make us a part of the church. It's to show us that we need to be part of the body of Jesus Christ. A lot of times, let's face it, we tend to be solo operators. We tend to think we can do it on our own. We don't really need others. I think it's part of our culture today. One of the huge things that we're seeing is a separation in society. Everybody's on their own. Nobody is part of a larger community. This weekend, I was involved in a missions conference in Wellimport, and one of the other speakers was saying that this is a huge thing. They were saying, he was quoting some statistics, that 20 years ago, on average, people had 3 close friends. Today, 20 or 25 years later, it's 1.5. I don't even know what 0.5 means, but it's amazing to think, just in 25 years, that's how much our society has been divided. That's how much things have changed. So the work of the Spirit is showing us that we need to be a part of the church, that we're not on our own, that we need others. And what the Spirit does is He actually gives us a love for people that are different than ourselves. You know, normally we hang out with folks that look like us and act like us and dress like us. Really, there's very, very little intersection between different worlds normally. Even in Canada, that's true. But the Spirit gives us that love for others. The Spirit gives us an interest in knowing other people's stories. The Spirit also gives us a desire to attend worship on Sundays, that church really is important, that church is a priority. One of the things in COVID that's been so sad to hear is the division in many churches. People not coming to church because they're on one side or the other side. And brothers and sisters, that grieves the Spirit when there is disunity in the church. Somehow we have to come together. Somehow we need to be talking about these things, sitting at the same table. So the Holy Spirit shows us, look, you need to be in church on Sundays. You need others. You need those who are intersecting with your life. On your own, you're weak, you're strong when you're with others. People need people. So when we think about rejecting the work of the Spirit in this area, I think a very clear application of this is to say the Spirit's going to encourage you to be a part of the body. And when we reject the work of the Spirit, what's going to happen is that we are going to desire to do things on our own. Brothers and sisters, let me remind you again of the joy and the privilege that we have of coming together, the joy and the privilege that we have of eating together and opening our homes. And it's been just so wonderful to have more freedom in this again. We need to take advantage of this. The Lord has reminded us again, when that's taken away, how dear that is, how much we need this. How much we need others in the church. How much we need their input, their encouragement, their strengthening in our life. Rejoice in that. Don't reject the Spirit's work. So secondly, the Spirit helps us. He encourages us to be a part of the church. Thirdly, we can say the Spirit teaches the Christian. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. John 14:26 says, "The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things, and he will remind you of everything I have said to you." It's amazing how many times in Scripture, when it talks about the Spirit's work, it talks about the Word. The Word and Spirit go hand in hand, don't they? God never works apart from the Word that He's written to us and given to us as a church. Remember, I had a friend once serving on the mission field, another missionary from a different church. He said to me, "Rich," he says, "you have to stop focusing so much on teaching the Bible, and you need to focus more on the Spirit's leading in your life." It wasn't good advice. That man later had difficulty in his life, his personal life, and that came back to me when I heard it. I thought, no, what God says in His Word is true. Word and Spirit. Remember this, brothers and sisters, the Spirit doesn't ever work in opposition to His Word. If someone tells you, God told me to do this or that, but that is something that is apart from His will, something that is contradicting what God clearly says in His Word, brothers and sisters, it's a problem. And I've heard it many times in my life. So the Spirit teaches the Christian, and as we open God's Word in our families and as we open God's Word individually, we need to pray to the Lord, God, show me, teach me, open my mind, open my heart, guide me in the knowledge of your truth. Well, let me say to you, take the time to read God's Word. It's so essential in our life, isn't it? Don't do that thoughtlessly. Do that meaningfully. Sometimes we can get involved in reading the Word and saying, well, I've done that for the day. I'm feeling good about myself. And it is important to read God's Word on a daily basis, but we need to do so prayerfully so that the Spirit can work. So to quench the work of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, what does it mean in this area? We can say it's to willfully reject what God clearly teaches us in His Word. To stubbornly go our own way, maybe even claiming it is God's will. Today we hear of so many who were formerly strong Christians. Maybe you know the story, the name Josh Harris. What a sad story that was to hear. But when we begin to work or to reject the work of the Spirit in our life, brothers and sisters, in small ways, it's a slippery slope, isn't it? We need to remember the Spirit is in us to teach us to walk with Him on a daily basis. This is the fourth thing and the last thing that I want to talk about with you this morning, that the Spirit is one that walks with us and teaches us to walk with God on a daily basis. Galatians 5:17 says, So I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. And every Christian is called to live in this way, and for those of you who have walked with the Lord for many years, you know that it's not easy. We need to understand it's impossible on our own. It's only through the indwelling work of the Spirit that we are enabled. And Galatians identifies the fruits of the Spirit as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. And this is where the Holy Spirit helps us, doesn't He? When we read that list, maybe there's one or two of those that jump out at you that say to you again, look, that's not the way you're living. Maybe it's with patience. Something that a lot of us, myself included, struggle with. But the Spirit's working on us, the Spirit's teaching us, the Spirit's helping us to see that we need to grow in that area, and the Spirit is helping us to overcome that sin and to grow in God's grace. John 14:16 says, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever. So the Spirit's indwelling us. The Spirit's working in and through us. The Spirit is controlling the Christian to live in a way that pleases the Lord. And when we ask the question, how do we quench the work of the Spirit in this area, we can say again, it's by going our own way, by following our own hearts, by perhaps listening to the messages that we hear again and again. And today we're bombarded with these messages. We're so involved, many of us, in social media, in media in general, a thousand different ways. This is one of the big reasons we're getting so separated. But brothers and sisters, when you think of the time that we spend in church and the time that we hear God's word explained to us, and then we compare that with the messages that we hear from the world, really the percentage is very small. The world, 10 times over, has much more opportunity to speak into the lives of our children than the church does. And that's a problem. We need to see that we are in a spiritual battle, that today we're not just talking about differences of opinion. This is spiritual warfare of the first degree. And sometimes we can say, well, look at the changes that we've seen in our society. Look at the changes that we're seeing right now, and it's true. But in many ways, brothers and sisters, we're just beginning to approach the things that the New Testament church had to deal with. Tremendous things regarding sexuality, regarding what was right and what was wrong, what was telling the truth and not telling the truth. A lot of times their values were exactly the opposite of what Christians believed. We're feeling that today, aren't we? So we need to pray for God's strength. We need to pray that He would give us the boldness to stand, but that He would also give us the wisdom to do so. I don't know about you, but I certainly feel it myself, how to be wise, how to respond properly today. It's not cut and dry, not as cut and dried, at least as I saw it in the past, to respond to those around us with grace. So we need to pray for the strength and the wisdom and also the gentleness. You get a sense today that so many people are angry, so many people are upset. You look at people in the eyes, you see so many people are perturbed today and they don't even know why sometimes. That's why God calls us to answer with gentleness, doesn't He? As a church, we need to learn this, we need to act in this way. Thinking of the gentleness of Jesus Christ, thinking of the way that He treats us. Even when we reject Him, even when we walk away, even when we sin against Him, sometimes we feel like we're sinned against today and we are a little jaded in the way we respond. Young people, I want to especially encourage you to stand. There's a lot of pressure on you right now. You're facing things that, in many ways, our generation never had to face. Stand strong. Fight the good fight of faith. Remember that God's ways are good ways, that there is no better place to be than in the road that leads to heaven. God's not going to keep from you the good things that you really could be enjoying if you were a little more worldly or a little bit more off His path. God's ways are good ways. And this is true for all of us, isn't it? This life in the Spirit is what God calls us to. As we close, let me ask you this. Do you see the Spirit working in your life? Is He convicting you of sin? How are you responding? Are you growing in your love for the church? Are you active in your church? Are you really plugging in? Maybe for a time you've stepped away. I'd encourage you again, plug back in. Ask your pastor, ask your elders how you can be a part of this church, a more real part. Let me tell you, they'll be glad to hear it. Do you see the Spirit teaching you as you read the Word? Is your spiritual life, is your daily devotional life, is your devotional life in your family, is it real? Is it alive? From day to day, are you learning to walk in the Spirit? And I pray that you would have this experience this morning, because that is the Spirit's work. Maybe there's someone that's seated here this morning that really doesn't know what I'm talking about. Maybe you've sat in church, or maybe you're sitting in church for the first time and you're wondering, well, this is all strange to me. I don't know what Pastor Rich is saying. But maybe the Spirit's tugging at your heart. Maybe the Spirit's speaking to you right now, speaking to you about a sin that you're involved in, speaking to you about the things that you have done to reject the Lord in the past. Let me say to you, call out to Jesus. Ask the Lord to forgive you for your sins. Ask that the Spirit would work in your heart and in your life. Brothers and sisters, for all of us, let's remember to rejoice in what the Spirit is doing in and through us. It's an amazing thing. It's a supernatural thing. It's wonderful to think that He is the one who is working in and through us to do His good pleasure. Isn't that amazing? Let's rejoice in that this morning. Let's give thanks to the Lord. Let's live from that truth as we go out into this week. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you. We praise you for, Lord, this command not to quench your Spirit. And Lord, we've looked at a few ways that the Spirit works in our life, and the ways that He encourages us to walk with you and helps us. Lord, as He convicts us of sin, as He makes us a part of the church, as we walk with Him, Lord, as He teaches us from day to day, Father, would that be the reality that we live out of? Would that be true of each one of us, we ask? Lord, if there's a person that doesn't know you this morning, that doesn't know the work of the Spirit, we pray that that Spirit would be begun. Lord, we pray that that young man or young woman or older man or older woman or child here this morning would respond, that they would confess their sins to you and turn to you in repentance and faith. But Lord, encourage us to walk with you from day to day. Lord, even in the down days, even in the tough days, even days where we struggle, many of us are right now. Encourage us, Lord, to truly walk by the Spirit. Thank you and praise you for these things, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.